This is an audio archive edition of Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
Right now we're joined by Lowell Feld of RaisingCane.com. Lowell is the founder and editor of one of the most important political blogs, certainly in Virginia, if not in the South. And Lowell, been looking forward to talking to you, especially since Jim Webb won the primary, and you had a lot to do with that, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that. I think Jim Webb had a lot to do with it, and I think, a lot of the grassroots people did have a lot to do with it, no doubt about it. Jim Webb developed a tremendous amount of grassroots enthusiasm, which was really, truly amazing, and not really seen in Virginia in several years that I can remember, really.
A lot of observers, though, have said that your blog and some of the others helped to really put him on the map, and by that I mean politically. He was certainly a best-selling author, and he had served in the Reagan administration, but as a viable Democratic candidate for Senate in Virginia, he was pretty much unknown.
Right. Well, I met him in late December for the first time, and when I talked to him, I was very impressed with him. But one thing that he said was that he was a Republican for many years. He knew that. And he was a little concerned of what kind of reaction he'd get from Virginia Democrats if he threw his hat in the ring. So, several friends of mine and myself decided we would show him that he would get a very good reception. Well, we didn't know for sure, but so we threw his name out there. We started a Draft James Webb movement, draftjamesweb.com website, and within five weeks we got about 1,000 online signatures urging him to run. Some very powerful emotional statements about, that he has to come and save our country, and, it was really amazing. And then also $40,000 in pledges, which was very nice for him to see. I'm sure he was very happy to see that.
Yeah, and that's certainly one of the biggest, one of the greatest strengths of the blogs and of the internet in general when it comes to politics. And what's happening in politics right now is these blogs can deliver money like that. Just overnight, you can raise money.
Right, you can raise money, but you have to have someone that turns the people who read the blogs, who turns them on in some way. If you just put out a blog, draft, me or something, let's say, or Coy Barefoot or whoever, I'm not sure how well, no offense to either one of us, I suppose, but I don't know how well that would do. But Jim Webb is, a really impressive person. I mean, he's a war hero. He's been a journalist and novelist his whole life. He wrote this book, Born Fighting, which History of the Scots-Irish in America, which is a great book, strongly recommend it. And he's just a very compelling character, I believe. And, he opposed the Iraq War very strongly before the invasion. I think a lot of people were attracted to him because of that. Not so much whether they even supported the invasion of Iraq or not, but I think that showed a tremendous amount of character. Because remember, back in post 9/11, it was almost considered treasonous. The Republicans would say it was treasonous if you even questioned our great leader, President Bush, and his policy towards anything really, but certainly invading Iraq, and Webb did question that very strongly.
We're talking with Lowell Feld of RaisingCane.com for a little political update. Lowell also started DraftJimWebb.com. Lowell, I have to ask you, what have you heard? Have you heard anything from the folks at the Webb campaign? Because, Harris Miller ran a classic 101 perfect campaign. It was excellent. And Jim Webb, I'll be kind and say he did not do that. It wasn't a great campaign, and yet he managed to win, and win pretty soundly.
Well, make a couple points here. First of all, when someone loses, and even when they outspend their opponent by 3-to-1 ratio, which is what Harris Miller did in the primary, I wouldn't necessarily say they ran a great campaign. I mean, he literally outspent Webb 3-to-1, and he lost by 10,800 votes out of 150,000 votes or so, 7 points. I think the Webb campaign, it got up and running. It was 100 days from pretty much when Webb declared till the election. And, I've talked to Steve Jarding, who's the senior strategist for Jim Webb, and he's run many campaigns, and he teaches this at Harvard. And he told me, I don't know how many times he's told me this, but you don't plan a campaign and run a campaign in 100 days. It's crazy. You usually start planning like a year in advance or something, or even a year and a half for a Senate race.
It's like a wedding. You want to make sure everything's perfect.
It's like a wedding, I mean, actually, I think, and remember also, Webb had never been a politician in his life. Yes, he was Secretary of the Navy, but he never ran for elected office in his life. He was a journalist, novelist. He never did this before. So I think, personally, I mean, obviously I'm biased, of course. I think I love Webb, but I think being outspent 3-1, try to put on my objective hat a little bit here, being outspent 3-1, no political experience whatsoever, no connections really in the Virginia Democratic establishment like Harris Miller had, and he won by 7 points. Pretty impressive victory, I'd say.
Now, what is it about Jim Webb that you think that is going to not only give Senator Allen a run for his money, but actually beat him in November?
Well, I mean, Senator Allen, for 6 years hasn't done a lot in the U.S. Senate. He hasn't really been a leader. He says he's bored in the Senate, and he wished he'd been born in Iowa. He's running for president. Let's face it. He doesn't want to be in the Senate. Jim Webb, I think, is an extremely accomplished man. He's a war hero. That's one thing. I mean, Republicans love to swift vote. They've done it many times in the past in various guises, but attack people's patriotism like they did to Tom Daschle, up in South Dakota.
Or Max Cleland in Georgia.
And Cleland in Georgia.
Yeah.
And there's so many cases, I don't even know where to start. I mean, we could be on all day. But, Jim Webb, it's going to be pretty hard to attack this guy. He won the Navy Cross. And if you read that Navy Cross citation, that's like, I believe, the second highest honor you can win in this country. It's like behind the Medal of Freedom, or I may be mixing that up. But anyway, it's extremely impressive, the courage and heroism he showed in Vietnam. Now, he said he's not running on his record in Vietnam. He's also very concerned with economic fairness for all Americans. I don't think George Allen is concerned with those things. He votes with George Bush 97% of the time. Jim Webb is an independent thinker. He's not really a party person. He looks at each issue and actually, imagine the concept here, he actually looks at the issue and thinks about it and analyzes it. Now, can you imagine George Allen sitting down, and George Bush proposes something, and he actually reads the whole bill, thinks through it, analyzes, and then comes to his own independent decision on whether to support it or oppose it? That's very hard to believe. Webb, as I said before, also, he opposed the invasion of Iraq beforehand. Allen, of course, rubber stamped that as well. And, we just go on and on. Webb has a critique of the influence of globalization and on our economy and the economic imbalances that are developing. I don't even think George Allen understands those forces at work.
Lowell Feld, our guest of RaisingCain.com. Lowell, were you disappointed by the reaction of a lot of Democrats in Virginia who, the Democrats like to say, hey, we're the big tent party, we're very welcoming, come on. And then Jim Webb comes into the picture and they're like, well, you're not a real Democrat.
That does disappoint me. I mean, to me, the idea here is to grow the Democratic Party. We want to win. I mean, I want to win back, and I know a lot of my friends do. And there are plenty of people within the Democratic Party in Virginia who think this way. Thank God. But, there are a lot who don't. But that we need to win back the people that we lost, the working class Democrats that went away on national security or patriotic or social issue for reasons of, like that, of those type of reasons in the 1980s, went to Reagan and went over to the Republican Party. There's no reason on economic issues that they shouldn't be with the Democrats. And even on family values, which the Republicans claim, they're hurting families, so we just have to get. But the thing is, the Democrats have really not done a good job with those people over the last couple of decades. So no, I found that to be frustrating. I had people tell me that he was a Republican. He was a Republican. Like, exactly. We want those people to come back into the Democratic Party, But some people just. I use Ronald Reagan as an example, a former liberal Democrat. And head of the Screen Actors Guild, I believe, and a liberal union, and became the Republicans' greatest president, they believe, the greatest conservative president in history.
They
welcomed him into
absolutely.
The party.
It started out as a liberal Democrat, and he became the icon of conservative America.
Exactly. So, I mean, to me, Jim Webb can come in here, and he's got a tremendous amount of populist energy. He's got a reform. He definitely can't stand the tremendous influence of money in politics. He wants, so I think he's tapping into some of that Ross Perot thing that we had in 92 with the Reform Party. You know, it got a little wacky, the Reform Party. But remember, Perot won 19% of the vote.
Which is huge. That's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, that was the biggest third party, I think, since, what, George Wallace or something? I don't know, a long time. You know? But and that was on reform, and it was also on the budget deficit. I think Webb also thinks it's ridiculous to be slashing taxes at a time of war. And when you have massive budget deficits, it's not fiscally responsible.
Although there's a lot of Republicans who would argue that Reagan showed that deficits don't matter, that people don't care, although Reagan raised taxes three times.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he reversed course, and then his vice president, who became president, George H.W. Bush, continued that to the point that, in fact, he was accused of being a heretic, practically, of breaking his Read My Lips, No New Taxes promise. But he got us on the road, and then Bill Clinton finished it, of getting us back to a balanced budget and even a surplus in this country. And now in just 6 years, the Bush administration and totally Republican Congress has completely decimated that accomplishment and reversed that accomplishment. We now see huge deficits as far into the future as you can see.
We're talking with Lowell Feld of RaisingCain.com. Lowell, one of the top political bloggers in the South. And Lowell, if we can turn to, we've been talking about, you know, the Senate race in Virginia, Jim Webb and George Allen. If we can turn to national politics just for a minute, but it also has some bearing on Virginia. Last night, and I mentioned this to you on the phone earlier today, I just finished Joe Klein's new book, Politics Lost: How American Democracy Was Trivialized by People Who Think You're Stupid. And fantastic book. I really recommend it strongly to everybody. It's sort of behind the scenes from Nixon on down all the way up to Bush, and in specifically looking at the role that political consultants have played, the ever-increasing more powerful role that political consultants have played, media strategists and pollsters and the like, on Democratic candidates. And I want to read to you from his conclusion, and I hate reading long passages over the radio, but if you'll bear with me, and just want to have you comment on it. Joe Klein, his new book, Politics Lost, he takes on the Bush White House, and if you know Joe Klein, he certainly doesn't pull any punches with the White House, but he accuses the White House of, he says at the highest levels of the White House, more effort went into spinning the war in Iraq than fighting it. The purpose of the White House Iraq Group, or WIG, which was led by Rove and Cheney's chief of staff, Scooter Libby, was not to review and analyze the military or political situation in Iraq, but to fight media fires, smear the president's enemies, provide talking points and photo ops that aggrandize the president's tough guy image because it was a political opportunity. First and foremost, and this is Joe Klein's conclusion, that the war for this White House was a political opportunity and not so much first, and then secondarily a military operation. So there's that. Also, there's this. Joe Klein writes, as I write this in the summer of 2005, the Bush administration, perhaps the most efficient political machine in a quarter century, is in tatters and still has 3 years left to run. If the president is to resuscitate himself, the path will not be paved with spin. He will have to regain respect the old-fashioned way, through careful management and thoughtful responses to public problems. But those are the very things that the administration and the president seems least capable of doing. Mm-hmm. Your response, Lowell Feld?
Well, I mean, I agree with that. I'm actually reading a different book right now, American Theocracy by Kevin Phillips, and I think they're approaching it from different angles, but I would say that since day one, the Bush administration has gone to the hard right. They haven't even tried. I mean, Bush ran as a compassionate conservative, supposedly, and someone who could build coalitions in Texas when he was governor there, but he hasn't done that.
He promised a different Washington.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
It's going to be a different Washington.
The tone of Washington. Yeah, he changed it all right. It's gotten worse. He's tried to build a coalition of right wing, far right wing, and extremely far right wing. And, you know, on Iraq, I mean, I think, you know, you had the neoconservatives who've been trying to figure out a way to take down Saddam Hussein for about a decade now. You have sort of these millennialist end of time people who actually think this is probably part of prophecy. Well, Bush himself said that God speaks through him. But, you know, as far as the politicization, I mean, here you have these people saying that the Democrats, they always say cut and run. It's like a parrot, cut and run, cut and run. You know, every 5 minutes you hear him saying cut and run. Meanwhile, turns out, New York Times reports yesterday, that they have a plan to get out of Iraq by, well, starting this fall, starting before the midterm elections, and that it sounds like it's driven to at least some extent by political considerations. You know, I mean, mission accomplished, standing on an aircraft carrier, that whole charade, Bush dressing up in the flight suit and jump, you know, and since then, I believe about 2,400 Americans have been killed over there. Mission apparently not accomplished. Very unfortunate. But, you know, it's it does seem like this administration is all too willing to play politics with even the most serious war and peace, life and death matters here. You know, selling the American people on this war based on a supposed connection between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda, which did not exist, weapons of mass destruction, which did not exist. You know, we can just go on and on here, but yeah, it's amazing.
Let me ask you this now. This is also from Joe Klein's conclusion, and this he turns his attention to the Democratic Party, which means a great deal to you personally. So let me ask you this. Here's what Klein writes: the Democratic Party shuffles between witless partisanship and nervous silence, with its silence coming on the most important issues like the war in Iraq. The party's leaders are second-rate at best. Their policy thinkers have grown stale and defensive. There isn't a prominent Democrat with the moral authority of Republican senators like John McCain and Chuck Hagel, or former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, for that matter. The baby boom generation has proved a fairly significant trough in the history of American political leadership. Our greatest, our only contribution to the Republic has been the rise of political consultancy.
Yeah, you know, I wish Joe Klein would tell us how he really feels. But yeah, you know, it's just people who like hold back all the time. Come on, Joe, let's hear it. You know, no, I largely agree with him. I think the Democratic Party. This is a large part of the reason why I'm supporting Jim Webb. I think the Democratic Party is drifting and has been for many years, not willing enough to stand up and fight for its values, which are very strong values. I think the Democratic Party, if you go back in history, has an incredible record of results, whether it's from going back to the FDR days, or you want to go back to Harry Truman and progressive causes like civil rights and so many other things, environment. You know, and I don't know why Democrats aren't willing to stand up and fight for what they believe in, unless, like Joe Klein points out, the rise of these political consultants have basically just, you know, taken over the Democratic Party and made everybody just kind of cynical and just wanting to get reelected and just raise money, and that's about it. But no, I'm not in it for that. I'm in it to push progressive values. When I talk about progressive, I'm talking like Teddy Roosevelt, Harry Truman, John F. Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, people like that. These guys were willing to fight for what they believed in. I consider myself to be a fighting Dem. Fighting Democrat.
And what about the folks who say that, you know, that's all George Bush is trying to do? He's just fighting for what he believes in.
Well, what does George Bush believe in? Like I said, he ran to be a compassionate conservative. I'm not really sure. I think he's very cynical. Do you think he really believes in that gay marriage should be, the Constitution should be amended to ban gay marriage? I really doubt it. I mean, I think he panders to the religious right to a large extent. Bush, I think, you know, right there you have Karl Rove, Bush's brain, as some people call him, kind of running the political show over there. So I don't know. I mean, but I just, as far as the Democrats are concerned, I do think they need to get a spine. And I think that's part of the appeal that Howard Dean had. I supported Wesley Clark myself, but Howard Dean was willing to stand up and say some things. Paul Hackett's another example, and Jim Webb is a great example of someone who will speak his mind, is not afraid. This guy's dived in front of grenades in his life, you know, live one. I mean, you know, he's not afraid of Republicans attacking him.
Right, right.
You know, that's not going to frighten him off. He's going to say, and if people come to him and give him some lines about, you know, some foreign policy, whether it's Iran next or whatever, he's not going to just sit there and take that. I mean, this guy's an expert at this stuff, and he's got the balls, frankly, to sit there and point right back at them and say, "Now wait a minute here, what are you talking about?"
So what's up next for Lowell Feld?
What's up next is probably making sure my basement doesn't flood again, frankly. I feel like I'm living in the Amazon up here. I mean, you know, you said about the South. I mean, I'm thinking, what, South America? I mean, that's the first time. I was up several hours last night bailing out water from my basement. It's amazing up here. My wife was off from work today because the Department of Commerce was closed down. A lot of Washington is, the metro system is offline. But anyway, seriously, though, you know, I'm going to keep working on the politics. I'm not exactly sure what, you know, my role is going to be, if any, with the Webb campaign. We're talking about that. It's possible. I mean, I want to, you know, I feel like I enjoyed the last few months. It was a fascinating few months of my life. And what's going to come next, I'm going to, you know, have to see. But
Has the campaign approached you to be internet strategist?
No, I mean, they haven't. We've been talking about various possibilities of how best to utilize Raising Cane, for one, as a resource for this campaign. I mean, obviously, it's a popular Democratic blog, maybe the most, you know, widely read one in Virginia. So, you know, and I think I have a few other talents, maybe just a couple besides that. But we'll see.
Thank you, Lowell. Lowell Feld, I appreciate the time, my friend.
Okay, sure. Thank
Lowell
you.
Lowell Feld of RaisingCane.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.